Let's get, Seltzer, are you prepared for some Sirianni audio here? I just want to make sure.
I don't know if anyone can be prepared for it.
By the way, you know what I should announce? James, you know this and I know this, but no one else knows this. And Wechter knows this. We're the only three. We didn't do an Eagles victory montage today.
We did not.
John, we played a couple highlights.
It was a choice.
We felt like there wasn't enough moments.
Victory?
Yeah. We didn't want to subject the audience to it, was really what it came down to.
Yeah, I mean, who would want to hear that really reviewed? Like, really reviewed. So we kept it short with a couple highlights, but I just... Anyway.
That was a good call on your part.
Right? I mean, yeah. Let's put it this way. We're not like Sirianni spiking the ball in the end zone, doing the Billy White Shoes Johnson dance, you know? Like, I mean, come on, man.
Wechter wanted to do it. We had to talk him down.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. As he gets in here at 2 a.m. to do these montages for us on Monday mornings. Poor guy. All right. So, Sirianni, let's start with the whole, well... Most of the Sirianni, look, it depends on whether you're bothered by his interaction with the Cleveland defensive backs early in the game or not. Didn't really bother me. Whatever. Not going to make a big deal of it. The main Sirianni stuff started as soon as A.J. Brown caught that ball. So A.J. Brown catches that ball to clinch the game. Eagles are going in a victory formation. And that's when a lot of the nonsense began. So it obviously, John, first goes with him yelling toward the stands, toward a fan or fans, we don't know who and how many.
You got to assume there was some jawing that
you
happened prior where there were, and these were Eagles fans from what I can gather, from what we've, you know, that were talking to him.
Correct.
You know, giving him some flack.
Yeah. And look, we'll talk to Sirianni about this tomorrow and find out what his answers are. But I thought it was an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment by the head coach after you beat one of the worst teams in all professional sports, barely. And, like, this is what you got coming out of the bye. All right. So that was the first thing. By the way, let me say this. No Ray Diddy with us today. Of course, Ray typically with us at this time. But Ray on a vacation for a couple weeks. He will be back next week. We look forward to having Ray back. And when he is, obviously, he's got a lot to comment on. Ray, when he's with us, is always brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken. But life does happen. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition, guaranteed. And you'll get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with Unlimited Ultimate. All right. So that was the first sort of thing after the game is clinched. Then you get to the post-game press conference, and it's like, what in the world is going on? Let's start with Sirianni talking about the interaction with the fans and also, because it was a commingled question, the interaction with the Cleveland players earlier. Now, to be clear, it was hard to hear the question, but we know the nature of the question. We don't want to play the audio because the microphones didn't pick it up. But it was about the Cleveland defensive player interaction and the fans. Sirianni also was very quick to cut the question off. So the full question was not essentially asked the way it would have been. Sirianni jumps in. Here's what he said.
I was having fun, and I kind of got some feedback from the guys is the sense of like, we need you back, Nick. We need your energy. We need your focus. We need your, like, I've gotten that from a couple players, and you know, when I'm operating and having fun, I think that breeds to the rest of the football team. You know, if I want the guys to celebrate and be themselves after big plays, then I should probably do that myself, right? Now there's times for that, and there's times not for that. I have to have wisdom and discernment of when to do that, when not to do that.
John, are we really back
wisdom
to this?
Wisdom and discernment. That's the problem. No, you don't have that wisdom and discernment. That was not appropriate, Nick. That was, again, I don't want my head coach, one of the 32 wisest football minds in the world, to be going after fans.
Like, I agree.
In the stands. That is so... It is so
who had a right to be dissatisfied?
Dumb. It is dumb. In some circles, people laugh at us because of your antics.
That's right.
That 100%. I do not appreciate. We, as a fan base, do not appreciate that. We take this seriously. Like, this matters so much. And you can't just sit there and say, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's cool, man. We'll fix it. It does not. We see it's not being fixed. We can see it with our eyes. There were 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter against the Browns, a bottom feeder, and the game was tied.
Oh, hung in the balance.
After a bye, after the entire team is rested and ready to go, in air quotes. Can you get a team ready to go? Have you gotten this team ready to go? I don't know that I've seen it.
Well, this year, since 2022.
Yeah.
No, we haven't. Look, I thought they played an impressive game last year versus Miami and an impressive game last year versus Tampa Bay week two. Other than that, they haven't been impressive since the conference title game or the first half of the Super Bowl, if you will. All right. The slow starts obviously have been an issue. And mind you, while he's giving these answers, and we'll get to more on the kids' reality in a moment, but while he's giving these answers, we're all seeing the visual of the three kids sitting there, well-behaved, but totally inappropriate that they're sitting there. I mean, totally. I mean, you didn't just beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship game.
No.
You just beat the Browns, barely. It was as uninspiring a victory as you're going to see.
And he kept getting distracted
by
the kids.
We're going to get to that.
He kept stopping and looking at them and dismissing the question that was being asked, doing his job, essentially.
Horrible.
To gaze lovingly on his children. I love that you love your kids. I think that's great.
It is.
And we all appreciate that. We really do.
I agree.
But not then.
Not the right time, not the right spot.
Not ever again. Like, why is this still permitted?
And I put it on Lori and Howie now. Enough. If Sirianni's not going to be adult, then an adult, then Lurie and Howie need to be the adults because they are the bosses. They eventually told Chip Kelly enough. And I'm not saying fire Nick Sirianni today. I'm saying the word enough has to be said today by either Jeffrey Lurie to Nick Sirianni, to Howie Roseman to Nick Sirianni, or from both of them to Nick Sirianni. The word enough has to be said today by Jeff or by Howie Roseman. All right, more on this ridiculous press conference. The slow starts was brought up on offense. I thought this was utter nonsense by the head coach.
Because y'all are making a big deal about it. I mean, is it like, guys, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fix it. We've known how to score in the past. Like, we get it. You guys have a job to do, and you're going to fixate on one thing, and you're going to be like, oh, they haven't started fast, or they haven't turned the ball over. Like, we got it. Like, we're going to do everything we can do to fix it. Like, and I don't want that to be in their heads. That's why I'm basically telling you guys, all right, we got it. We'll figure it out.
Is he kidding?
What?
Like,
no.
That tone?
He's
like,
not.
That was... Are you kidding me, dude? Like, acting like the question shouldn't even be asked because, you got it?
Hey,
that was outrageous.
And I'm going to trick
Correct.
I'm gonna trick these guys by doing it this way. Hey, guess what? I'm going to tell you the way I'm going to manipulate them right now. I can't believe that was said. Wow, this is like next level depravity. Like, what in the world are you thinking, man? It's idiocy.
Can I make a joke about it? Because I'm only going to do this if I get permission. Can
sure,
I make...
go ahead.
Where did he get the effrontery?
Even Junior Soprano knows, who probably in the Sopranos world would be dead by this point, okay? I mean, if the Sopranos, which ended around 2006, you know, it's now almost 20 years.
He's still alive.
Yes.
Junior would die. I know.
Junior,
I'm just saying the actor is still going.
Yeah.
Joe, for him to act like y'all are fixated on it, you're all making a big deal out of it. Dude, you're the only team. The only team.
And that's a massive part of the reason why you have a close
Browns
game.
And the Cleveland Browns you played.
Right. You beat Cleveland yesterday for two main reasons. A.J. Brown saved your ass. And the Browns stink.
Yes.
That's why he beat the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, y'all are tripping, man. Yes. Like, seriously, that's what he was like. I mean, y'all are tripping.
It's so unbelievable.
Seriously.
All right, more from Sirianni, because obviously the booze and the fire Sirianni chants, which didn't permeate the whole, like, it didn't get to the broadcast.
They weren't crazy.
But it was picking up.
But you could hear them.
Yeah, picking up, and it's going to be really excessive in the next home game if they struggle. So fans were booing. That's picking up as the season goes on. Sirianni talked about it after the game.
We thrive off the crowd when they cheer for us. That's all I'll say. Like, when our crowd cheers for us, we thrive off them. You know, and you know, we hear them when they boo. We don't necessarily like it. I don't think that's productive for anybody. But you know, when they cheer for us and when we got them rolling, you know, we love it.
Did we just get chastised by Nick Sirianni?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Not productive,
wow.
John. Your behavior is not productive.
Yeah, there's yours.
That's a good
Nick.
Word, chastised. That is what happened. It's unbelievable. All right. So I don't know if we save the best for last or the worst for last, but there's a sequence where the kids thing is most stark. So they've been sitting there the whole time. There's a little bit of interaction, dad to kids. They've been very well-behaved, and they were well-behaved the entire time, but they should not have been there. I think most people know it. This is all, by the way, part of why we ask you today with the Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With October Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away, always hoping for a cure, ArminChevy.com. It's why we have this question, which we've never asked before, but today we put in a poll question. What annoyed you more yesterday? A, the ugly win versus a bad Browns team, or B, Sirianni's conduct? All right, this all leads up to the moment when there's this sequence with the kids created by Sirianni, not created by the kids. It's not their choice to be in the room. They were well-behaved, but Sirianni just feels this need to just start interviewing the kids during the press conference, sort of. Here's a ridiculous, extensive exchange.
I really say the crowd was critical there, you know, because they had a false start, and then they had a false start again. So the crowd noise was critical right there of just the – it was loud. It was so loud there. Did you guys think it was loud?
No.
No? No. Did you think it was loud? Here, girl. Did you think it was loud? Did you think it was loud? Somebody answer. Just say yes. All right.
I mean, it's just, it's mind-numbing.
I have my head in my hands.
Awkward. Honestly, it was awkward.
Well,
of course it's
totally
awkward.
It's awkward.
Of course it's awkward. Of course it's awkward.
Oh, somebody's got, this can't ever happen again.
I totally agree, Rhea. And it is now moved to the Lori and Howie point. Look, yeah. They chose to bring him back. That's their choice.
Yep.
Okay, that's their choice. But they cannot permit this to continue.
I didn't hear that. Because
people will really start getting mad at Lori and Howie if they do. They really will. Because they are the bosses. I mean, it's totally...
Somebody's got to be in charge of him.
This was such
which is not the way it should be.
Correct.
A respected organization. A respected organization. This is such a far cry from what this organization deserves in terms of like the way that we should be represented.
Well, I want to play Lane Johnson one more time. If you missed this, we played this about 40 minutes ago. But here's someone keeping it real after the game. Here's Lane Johnson after the game at his locker room with Howard Eskin.
Lane, it's a win, but is it disappointing that...
Yeah. I said I feel like a very concentrated offense. We do some good things. We have all this ability, but... we have yet to prove, you know, that we can hit on all cylinders. So that's definitely something that's going to be on our mind. You know, I think, you know, moving forward, that's something we got to fix, especially starting fast. We haven't done that in 2 years, so you know, puts ourselves in a bind. So yeah, this game was maybe a lot more competitive than what it needed to be.
Look, I'll just say this and then write to the phones. None of us were in the mood for this yesterday. I mean, we got a Philly season that collapsed last week. We found out over the weekend that Joel obviously might not be ready for the start of the regular season. I mean, that's clear. Sixers have announced he's not going to play the rest of the preseason, which obviously means he may not be ready for the start of the season. We'll see. And now we got this from the Eagles, both on the field and off the field. It's a disgrace. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, good morning.
How you guys doing?
I don't want to be this negative after a win, Chuck.
We did win.
Yeah. But it's really tough, man.
4 points was not enough.
John, Rhea.
Hi.
This guy's unhinged. Okay? He needs therapy. And sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror as a man and say, you know, I need help. You don't need to be worried about coaching. This guy is just, I've said it, you know, years ago, you know, anybody would listen. This guy's not professional enough. He's an adolescent. His behavior on the sidelines is unhinged. And to me, it's adding to what this team is doing right now. This team, he's more of a liability and an asset to this team. And this is why this team doesn't come up prepared. Can you imagine how he is in meetings and things that nature? He's like that on the sideline, coming at a fan because they're booing. Dude, let me tell you something, Nick. We boo because you're not putting a good product out there. You're not doing your job right. This is Philadelphia, and it's every Philadelphia's God-given right to boo when they go to a game. So if you don't like it, why don't you just quit? How about that? Do us all a favor. Never show up on the sideline again because you suck at your job anyway. So, you know, I just wanted to say this guy's unhinged and he's a horrible head coach. And we'll never win anything with this guy being our head coach. Now, to the quarterback. The quarterback's not good enough. It's as simple as that. This is why this offense looks the way it looks. It's so up and down, mediocre. You know, all these weapons around you. We were sold a bill of goods when he came into the season. Oh, this offense will be a high-powered, top-five offense. And I don't see none of that. He got the wide receivers. You know, he has two of them yesterday. Actually scored a touchdown when the ball was actually thrown to him. You know, we see their talent. We got a great
Chuck, you know what would be fascinating? Let me tell you something that would be fascinating. Because, you know, I largely agree with you there on Jalen. I'd be so interested to see the Derek Carrs of the world, pick those guys, those type of guys, like how they would do in this offense.
Derek Carr's a good quarterback.
No, he's
been a good quarterback.
He's pretty good.
A while.
But I tend to think he's now better than Jalen, and that's
that one I don't know about.
It's close, though.
I mean, you get to him.
I know.
He's not very good.
Let me ask you this, Rhea. Is Jared Goff better?
That's the guy I was thinking of.
Right?
I think that's a better example.
I think he's inarguably better.
Yeah.
I do, too.
And we didn't think that way, you know, when they first came out.
We didn't think that way
at all
2 years ago. It wasn't even
Johnson continues to be his offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson was so good an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but John,
he was expected to take head coaching jobs, but he stayed in Detroit to be the offensive coordinator again.
Hold on. But Kellen,
it really does matter.
But Kellen Moore was supposed to not be able to continue with a real offensive mind in Kellen Moore. And the fact that it does.
And we wanted him to be that guy.
Yeah, but Chuck, here's my main point. The fact that it continues. Now, look, credit to Jalen for playing better in the fourth quarter, okay? But the fact that the issues continues tells me it's more about Hurts than Sirianni the schemer or Kellen Moore the schemer or Brian Johnson the schemer. I just think Hurts isn't that good.
Yeah, exactly. And my thing is this. Kellen Moore's hands are top on his back. He can't run his full offense with this guy quarterback. The guy can't do but so much. You know what I mean? He's an average, mediocre, below-average quarterback. And until we realize that and go out there and actually draft a real quarterback, then we'd be doing something. I mean, you put Sam Darnold in this offense. You know, you put a guy like that in this offense and see where we go. You know
Sam
I mean?
Darnold wasn't good until this year because he accumulated experience. You know, experience does help your cause as a quarterback.
It does. But I also know I don't want to wait that long with a guy making $250 million. I mean, I can allocate resources elsewhere.
That's why you hope that they can accelerate that process.
No question. That's exactly right. All right, Jenna Cameron and John Ritchie. On this Monday morning, welcome to the middle of October. Let's try to get through this month as quick as possible so we can forget about baseball. And hopefully the Eagles tack on some wins this month. They certainly have a shot. With some very winnable games. You know, John was saying last week they can get to 6-2, and they can, but they're almost definitely going to have to play. Doesn't mean they're good. Doesn't mean they're good. And they're going to have to play better than that to win the next three. You can't, like, every team's not as bad as the Browns. So let me ask you a question. I had a friend last week, and he said it to me like 2 weeks ago, and then he said it to me again last week. He says, Joe, you've been too negative lately on the air. All right, so here's my question to you, James, because I'm sure there are some people out there, some, maybe not a huge percentage, maybe 5%, maybe 30% of Eagles fans, listeners right now thinking the same thing. For those that think I in the show is too negative, is it avoidable today?
No. I mean,
I just want to make sure because I want to cover it all.
No, like, I get it.
I want, like,
yes.
If 25% of you are ticked that we are cascading the negativity down after a win. I understand how that can be frustrating, but I also think, James, it's unavoidable.
Think
today.
About it this way. We're 2 hours and 20 minutes into the show. We have not got one caller who even mildly disagrees with you.
Okay.
Like, we have not gotten one caller be like, hey, Joe, they won the game. Like, the phrase they won the game has been said like three times today. Like, no.
And it's a throwaway
when it's said. Exactly. It's almost like a joke. But they won the game. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. You know?
Yeah, I do know. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Some audio this segment. Brandon Graham, postgame. Congrats to him. Really big congrats to him on 200 games. It's an incredible accomplishment. Plus, more from Sirianni. We'll cover as much as we can, including Hurts, what he says that he said to Sirianni about trying to get him back to being himself, which I'm back to having him now not be himself. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Interesting morning, my friend.
Indeed it is.
So, you know, it's funny. I got a couple observations, and then it came to a conclusion. So here we are. We have a quarterback who is average at best. We have a head coach who is capable of making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, who is the executive chef of a Michelin restaurant, who is now telling everybody that players are telling him, we need the energetic Nick. Well,
who are these players? Because I could tell you Lane Johnson ain't one. We know Jalen ain't one.
No, we do know. We do know Jalen's one because he said Jalen said, and I'm going to play that audio in a second. Jalen said that he went up to Nick and told him to, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but get back to your old self. And he went, and Jalen was not the only player after the game that said that.
I mean, this is becoming so laughable. I mean, between that, we have a GM that is horrible at talent evaluation. Like, where I am now, guys, and I really, and this is a serious question. I want you to ask yourselves, is Jeffrey Lurie and this organization really serious about winning? And the reason why I've come to that conclusion is, we have, again, I know Belichick.
They are, by the way. I can answer that question easily. Yes, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman very much want to win. They really do.
But then why do we have a child as a head coach? Why do we have an average, you know, quarterback? I just don't understand.
Well, the quarterback thing happens, meaning you're going to get in a spot sometimes where players play worse. He's got a big contract. I mean, it would have been essentially impossible to move off that after last year, and I think it would have been incredibly unwise to move off it after last year. The answer on why Sirianni's still the head coach, I mean, simple answer, they chose him after he had made the playoffs 3 years in a row, and they decided to stick by him, even though last year was a collapse at the end, believing that there was something there to still tap into with new coordinators to try to resuscitate this thing. That was the theory. It's not looking great.
It's the theory. And again, I guess I'm starting to nitpick where I hear things like from Jeffrey and Howie of like, we think Nick could be a great head coach. We think Jalen could be this. You know what? I want to know. Again, I want the best. If you want to win, you bring in the best. And I'm sorry. I'm going to stay on the hill. I know it's not going to happen this year.
But we know that this wasn't the best. Mike, we knew heading into it that he wasn't the best. We knew heading into it that, like, I didn't even recognize the name Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, but to be fair, we didn't recognize the name Andy Reid when they hired him. I mean, that can happen.
Okay, and that's the way it is here.
Look,
they hire in a certain pattern, and
right, they do.
That's what we deal with.
Here's a fact I can present. It's a fact, and it doesn't speak to millions of people, but it's a sample. Last year when the season ended, we did a poll. Do you want Nick Sirianni to remain the Eagles head coach? 71% of people said no. That's a fact. Eagles chose to keep him. Okay. I mean, that's their choice. And, you know, right now I think it's looking like a not great decision. And the crazy thing is I've been more of a Nick backer than many. You know, you guys know, I personally think Jalen's a bigger problem. But Sirianni's conduct, there's two different things. There's his coaching, which includes decisions, which in-game I think have been disastrous this year. But then there's the conduct.
I don't know how you, when you see this conduct,
yep,
Joe.
I don't know how you
get to the point where you think, like, oh, this guy probably has done a really good job with Jalen, like, through the last few years, like, developing him as a quarterback. Because it has been, they have been inexorably linked, these two.
Yeah.
It's him, the head coach, the offensive play caller initially, the offensive mind, the offensive guy, they're together. Whether we like it or not, come hell or high water, his development is linked to Nick Sirianni's. When we see stuff like this from Nick, does it really make you think Jalen's gotten the best teaching possible to bring him along?
No.
It hurts me to know that I feel he must have been stunted. He must have been stunted along the way. I don't know how much.
No, I agree with that. I think that is very on point. I do. Let's listen to Jalen. The last caller just referenced it and really did not have it accurate. Hurts talked after the game about how he went to Sirianni and told him to be himself. This was an interesting moment. Let's listen to Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday.
I don't know who else said it. I know I spoke to him. It's just a reassurance of, you know, we trust who you are. We trust where you are as a coach. And we know we can build with you. And so it's about doing it together. It's about doing it together, you know, and I think for him, it's really, I think any leader, it's about a vision and trusting in that vision, you know, and he's done a really good job of being able to have conversations and honestly build, try and map things out, you know, and some things take time, but it's a group effort from everybody, and everybody has to dominate their box. Everybody has to respect their role, accept their role, and give their best. give their best. So I'm excited for him and his growth and continue to see where he's going. And I think it'll continue to help our football team.
It's really astounding. I mean, I'm glad Jalen.
Why does it feel like he's the adult?
Well, it does.
That's
it does.
What I was thinking.
Like, I'm proud of him. He's really growing, you know?
Exactly.
James, could you imagine back in the day when you were in school? Because there's sort of like an authority, not authority related. Could you imagine back in the day talking about your teachers, you're happy for their growth?
No. No.
You're proud of your parents' growth?
Never happened. Never
You're proud of your parents' growth?
No.
John, you're proud
impossible.
You're
it's
proud
impossible.
Of Andy Reid's growth?
Oh.
When you were 26 years old?
Can you imagine that?
Could you imagine saying that? And,
no,
and I'm not blasting Jalen. I mean,
I was
at all.
I felt like it was such a privilege to be sitting across Andy Reid's desk from him. I thought it was a privilege to hold the same pen that he had used to sign the contract that I was about to sign. He's
one of the best coaches going. He always has been, even more so now.
No, he's on fire.
Jeez.
But I mean, it's astounding. I've never heard, and I'm not being critical here of Jalen at all. I've never heard an athlete ever talk about their coach's growth.
It's insanity.
I mean, we know coaches adjust at times. We know Tom Coughlin adjusted. Like, we know those things happen. But I mean, for the love of God. And the crazy thing is
patronizing. Like, to be positioned where you can actually patronize your coach, like you're looking down at Nick Sirianni,
but he really
with
said
the
it
way
it,
you are.
But he presented
that.
It as a compliment, which was very
well. But that's a problem. He thinks he's being complimentary, but it really is
either
looking
that,
down his nose at his head coach,
look,
saying that you're proud of the way that he's been developing.
Either that, or Jalen just got tired of being criticized for not saying over the top nice things, and he just says, "Oh, I'll give you over the top nice things." I mean, I don't know which
maybe.
It is. I really
maybe
don't.
That's part of it.
Yeah,
but it's still dysfunctional. No matter how you cut
the whole
it, like
thing
why
is
are
ridiculous.
We at the point where we have to make? I don't know. Exceptions for the head coach where this quarterback has to talk about his development, like, because he needs to develop. He needs to actually develop and get better, and everyone knows that, so much so that the quarterback talks about
it. Here's what I'll say to just sum up, like, kind of everything. Lurie and Howie should be embarrassed because millions of us as Eagles fans feel embarrassed. It shouldn't happen. And that should never happen after a victory. If you get to the point after a victory where millions of people feel embarrassed with the organization and the head coach, you know, the owner and the general manager got to take a real hard look in the mirror. I mean, a real hard look. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair right now. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning. Long time, guys.
Joe,
you guys have been great.
Very long time. We love when you call. Call as often as you can, and good morning, buddy.
Well, good morning, and I got a lot to say. And me and you can disagree about Jalen a different time, but I think from the middle of last year to where we got now, Nick Sirianni to me is just the biggest embarrassment of a coach from that time through now, where the team is going backwards in so many ways. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you just said that Jalen just said what he had to say to get everybody off his back.
It's possible.
Just to support his coach, because it's nonsense. They're oil and vinegar. They're oil and water. They're total opposites.
Yes, they
One
are.
Is professionally driven to become the best they can be, and you have an ass clown up there that brings his kids up there to deflect all of the media from everything that was supposed to happen, because that team was not prepared. You had 2 weeks to prepare against the Browns team. And offensively, we're so much more talented than most teams in the NFL, Joe, but this is where I'm going to disagree with you about the offensive ingenuity of this team. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore's hurt Justin Herbert's career going backwards. He had an amazing start to his career. He's going backwards. This team does no misdirection, no wide receivers in motion, getting the ball, fakes to get linebackers and safeties frozen or moving. We don't do play action with one of the best running backs in the NFL to create linebackers and safeties to not move so you can get speed in the middle of the field to get yak yardage. We have nothing except vertical game plans and sideline patterns and bubble screens. And it's embarrassing that we don't have an NFL offense with – you saw the play yesterday to Devontae Smith, and I almost laughed, diehard laughing at work yesterday watching, because I've never seen it in such a long time. A 5-yard drag route across the middle of the field, yeah. going against the flow because everybody else was going the other way.
That's what the Chiefs and the Dolphins have done for years with Tyreek Hill. You know, it's like you got the deep route, but common. Yeah,
this is a man beating route. This is totally, a drive route.
Totally.
This is what we need to do more of.
Totally.
You know, like you have automatics in the game. If you get man coverage, Jalen can say, "Hey, drive. Devontae, I'm going to signal this to you. No one else even needs to know. Run a drive route. We'll win."
And the only thing else you have to know about what happened yesterday is that the Eagles going down, they have a 2nd and 1. And Barkley, for some reason, has another brain fart and doesn't get the 1st down. But you got 2 timeouts and you're 3rd and 1. The one thing you don't want to do is back yourself up. So I'm thinking they're going to just go get the 1st down, call a quick timeout, get a couple shots, try to score 7. But what does Nick Sirianni do? The only play of the game that he calls, drops Jalen in shotgun, drops him back 7 yards, and Barkley whiffs on a block. I mean, completely whiffed on the block. Another brain fart, back-to-back plays for Barkley, which no one's talking about today. That 3rd and 1 and the complete missed block on the blitz. Your quarterback gets sacked. When you have 2 timeouts and 32 seconds left and you're in field goal range and your head coach, who's not play calling, decides to call that play to take yourself out of field goal range and do more harm than good. That's all you need to know about this head coach and why this quarterback and head coach aren't on the same page. They're totally different personalities, and one's driven to win and one's driven to be an out.
Well, hold on. Joe, I will say this one. The one thing I'll disagree with you, Sirianni is driven to win. There's no doubt about it. But he's driven to win, but his method,
where?
But his methodology and his idiosyncrasies drive you bananas. He does want to win. He doesn't not want to win. I mean,
I don't know a coach who doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't freak out like okay. that at people yeah. unless you want to
yeah.
win,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to. But Joe, look, always good to hear from you, my man. Call when you can. Let me ask this question. This is not our Twitter poll question of the day today. James, you only have so many characters when you put up a Twitter poll, right?
It's correct.
So some of the more lengthy answers can't really fit into a poll. Mm-hmm. I want to present this outside of the actual coaching of the game. Sirianni poll and get your assessment of which of these 4 bothered you the most yesterday. Because I've narrowed
you got 4 Sirianni events.
We have 4
the game.
Yes. We have 4 Sirianni not related to like coaching the game moments or concepts. Tell me, all right, Rhea, James, and John, which one of these 4 bothered you the most? Choice A is everything to do with the kids at the press conference. Everything to do with it. Choice B is, as the game is just about to end and they're in victory formation, yelling at the fans. Choice C is that one answer during the press conference related to booing, when if you really listen to it...
Where he was castigating us.
You can tell he's chastising the fans.
Yeah.
Okay, that's choice C, chastising fans. And choice D is the, when asked about the slow starts, the, we got this. No, come on. Nothing to see here. Slow starts says smoke starts. We're fine. All right, the slow starts answer.
We'll fix
the
it. Kids, don't worry about it.
The chastising the fans or the yelling at specific fans. Seltzer, I go to you first. Which one bothered you most?
How am I supposed to choose? Like, it's the opposite of a Sophie's choice. I want to choose all of them. Like, I initially thought as you were asking them that I was going to say jawing at the fans because, like, freaking control yourself, man. Like, seriously, again? You're doing this again?
Right.
But as you went through, like, the way he just, like, the gall to just kind of, like, crap on questions about why you've started slow, like, that was, like, I'm furious about that. So I would pick that, but...
I got gotcha.
You. You have 4 choices, and he coached a bad game on top of it.
He did.
He wasn't even a good coach yesterday, much less all this other stuff.
They barely beat the Browns. Rhea, which one bothered you the most?
I'm with James. I wanted like an all of the above button there. It was the one about the booing because a guy who claims isn't accountability one of his core values.
Yeah.
Well, the fans were holding you accountable for that dead ass performance yesterday against the worst team in the NFL.
And he's strutting around like he just beat the 1992 Dallas Cowboys.
Correct.
Like, I mean, he's acting like this is a historic win.
Why isn't that one of the answers? Like, that was...
Well, that could have been, too.
That's the biggest problem for me. Like, he's acting like he accomplished something.
Yeah. You know what was going around...
Why?
John, you know what was going around social media yesterday? This was going around social media. People saying this was his reaction after the game.
I did see that. That was pretty good.
It feels like it's inappropriate.
So you would choose E, which is acting like they got some glorious victory.
Yes.
I mean, it's a legitimate another one.
His level of self-satisfaction is far too high. Yep. Far too high.
It is. It is. I would go with the kids. I mean, John, you're right. Your thing kind of
covered
sums it all
the bases between us here.
Your thing kind of covers it all, John. But of the four I presented, I would probably go in with having the kids there because it's so tone deaf of the reality.
Yeah.
It's
a great representation of what we're talking about.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't a playoff win. Oh. I mean, you're not going to the Super Bowl. You beat the Browns.
You beat a team that has, at 1-5, a winning percentage. I don't know what that is. What's your winning percentage when you won 1 of 6 games?
200,
bad.
Right?
Well, it's below, no, 1 of 4 would be 200. One of four
would be 250. It's 200, right?
No, 1-4 would be a 200 winning percentage. 5 games, you've won 1. 1-5 would be somewhere around 16 or 17%. It's really awful. All right, let's get to Brandon right now in Brookhaven. Brandon, good morning.
Hello, guys. Joe, I'm going to say this. I don't envy you on your interview with Nick tomorrow. Oh, I'm trying to ask professional correction.
I've been thinking about that for about 16 hours now. And look, we'll be ready, and we will ask the questions. We will ask them in a precise way, and we will ask what I feel confident people want to hear asked.
But I would love to know why this offense is so basic. And I refuse to believe is Jalen Hurts. I think it's Nick, and he just wants to be fundamentally, I don't know, average. You have these top offensive players, and you're not even utilizing them in the correct way. I don't understand this. I really do not. And as I said, I don't think it's Jalen. He's been a quarterback for how long? He's been coached since high school. He's seen a lot. I just don't believe it's Jalen.
Well, I think you'll be proven wrong in about 2 years, Brandon, but we'll say. We'll see.
I could be wrong. I'm not denying that. I could be wrong. But
it's crazy to me, Brandon, that everyone is making so much of this. Like, he's unable to go under center. Like, I know that college football now is there's a lot of shotgun. I know that he did a lot of that, a lot more of that than the under center stuff. But, man, it's really not that difficult. It's not that challenging.
Well, John, what's your explanation for why they don't?
Children.
Why do you think they don't do it?
I do think it's a level of comfort that they need to buckle down and tell them, like, I don't care if you're uncomfortable with it. Figure out how to do this
because
it makes our offense better. It expands everything that we can do, and it makes the run game and the play action have so much more bite. Whether you like it or not, it's what's best. So deal with it, man.
I totally agree.
I also just want to see it. If he can't do it, then let's see him not be able to do it.
And it's not easy. Brandon, it is. We know that the idea of turning your back to a defense, coming from under center to where you're turning your back to the defense, faking a stretch where you're taking, I don't know, 4 steps with your back to the – that does put you out a little bit. Like, it's got to be unsettling, especially when you have concerns about the protection to begin with. When you get a little bit sketchy back there and you have a tendency to take off early, turning your back to the defense for 4 or 5 steps probably isn't your favorite thing in the world to do. Again, probably doesn't feel excited
about
getting under center and play actioning, but he has to do it. The team will be better served if he does.
Look, Brandon, we'll find out in the end, you know, who's right about Hurts and who's wrong.
I just want to ask you one question then. Why would Jalen Hurts be able to dictate that to your coaches?
Because every coach I've ever been around, every offensive coordinator, every offensive coach asked the quarterback, you like this? You want this? How do you feel about this one? How you like this? You know, going in, red zone, plus 15, what's your favorite play? How do you like this? You like that from shotgun? You know, like, he has to feel confident and comfortable with every play that you put in.
Yeah.
And I think that's the root of this, that they just let it get away from them as coaches and too much into, like, his comfort zone. Like, stay strong. You gotta run from under center too.
Totally agree. All right, coming up in 1 minute, we'll talk about Brandon Graham with that 200th game. It's a great accomplishment. What BG said after the game, specifically what BG said about getting the game 200. You'll hear that coming up in 1 minute.
This football season, get yourself a win by losing. Call NJ Diet today and you will lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. You'll shock family during holiday get-togethers, and more importantly, your doctor should finally be able to give you good news about your blood work. Not only that, but losing weight is linked to helping boost low T, guys. NJ Diet's program starts with personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to help you keep the weight off. It's all natural, no surgery, no hormones, no gross prepackaged foods, and no shots or nasty side effects. Locations in King of Prussia, Newark, Delaware, Cherry Hill, and Princeton, or from home with live online video consults. Call today, 855-5NJ-DIET. 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com to set up your consultation. That's njdiet.com.
All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning. Looks like as I look out the window, the sun is coming out, which is good. A little late to the game here today, but welcome sun to the world at 8:45 a.m. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday morning and your new week as we hit the middle of October here. So look, hopefully this Eagles season turns into something pretty damn good. We'll see. Doesn't feel great right now. Obviously, even this way, they can make the playoffs. I mean, it's not like 3 years ago when they got to 9-8. They were really a good team. They weren't. They were an average team. Had an easy schedule. Got to the playoffs, 9-8. Got smoked in the first round. We'll see. But one of the cool things about this year is Brandon Graham playing year 15 and still playing pretty darn good. This is not one of those situations, to use a typically non-Eagle player, like Haloti Ngata when he got here and had nothing left. Like Ryan Kerrigan when he got here and had nothing left. I remember Richard Dent playing for the Eagles, got here and nothing left. Like, Brandon Graham's still contributing. And one of the bigger sequences were the two back-to-back plays he made yesterday where he stunted a drive of the other team. It was really impressive. So congrats to BG on 200. Congrats on all that it represents, including 2017, including overcoming a brutal start to his career. Obviously one of the great people that's ever come through Philadelphia sports and a big part of our show. Every Tuesday, Brandon's with us, including tomorrow. You'll be able to hear him from about 7:40 to 8:10. Let's also listen to what BG said after the game, because he knows he got to 200. It's awesome. He was happy about it post-game. He was very appreciative about it post-game and reflective. Here's Brandon Graham after the game.
I got to give it to the ones before me, you know, the ones that helped me during dark times. You know, I didn't think I would be here at 200, especially how I started. But like I told the guys, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I think getting served by some of the vets that I had, and then being that service to others, you know, I don't get here without that. And then, of course, you know, prayer and, you know, making sure that you just, you know, being a good person in the building and just doing the best that you can do every day. And, I mean, you know, you just see what happens. But 200 games, I don't take that lightly, and I'm very thankful.
I'll say this, man. No player that I've ever seen in Philly sports has been more rootable for than Brandon Graham. And I'm not saying he's number one, like he's above the Maxies and the Dr. J's and the Brian Dawkins. There's nobody you could want to root more for. I mean, he's the best dude.
Positivity, the outlook. He buoys everyone around and brings everyone up to his level. The thing that's strange, yesterday, man, his snap count is as low as I've seen it all year.
What
long.
Did it get to?
He was only 23 snaps.
Who were they mixing in more, Nolan Smith and Huff?
Well, Josh Sweat had 39. Bryce Huff had 31 snaps. It feels like Bryce Huff surpassed Brandon Graham.
Interesting.
In snappage this game.
Okay.
Now, maybe that's a good sign. Bryce Huff was able to do a better job against this, you know, lower level of competition. He was able to hold his own and set that edge better.
Maybe.
Or whatever.
Maybe
it was.
That's a post-buy adjustment.
Maybe.
You know, that was one of their things. They said, hey,
it's not sustainable with Brandon at 35, 36 years old.
And it could just be a sink or swim. Like, they could just be saying, hey, sink or swim, we got to play Bryce Huff. I mean, we got him for maybe a couple years, so let's see what we got. All right, let's go to the phones. But major congrats to BG. It's really awesome.
Awesome.
Barry in Bethlehem right now. Barry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Barry.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I have a couple points I want to make, but this may be unpopular amongst your crew right now. I have to compliment you, Joe, on your acumen, your sports acumen, because you're on it. I think your ability to recognize incomplete players in all the sports is pretty much spot on, and I have to compliment you.
Well,
on
thank
that.
You, sir.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't say I bat a thousand. I'd say I bat 998.
Barry, what are you doing? Seriously.
No, I appreciate the words, and I appreciate listening to our show, Barry.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, John, I think you brought up a point earlier in the show today that you were asking whether or not Howie and
Lurie,
thank you, were giving him enough rope to hang himself. And I think, you know, maybe you might want to even put a little spin on that and say, you know, maybe they've already made the decision to move on from him during the season because he is just horrible on the press conference. And as far as his kids look on their faces, they didn't even want to be there. You know,
well, they may have been, but you know what might have been an awkward. Let's go a little deeper into it. Here's my guess.
Go ahead.
And I would put this at like 100%. Sirianni tells them before the press conference, "All right, guys, I'm bringing you out there, but you can't talk. You can't giggle. You can't like. You got to be quiet. I'm going to bring you out here. Dad's going to bring you out here, but you got to not disrupt things." But then he starts interviewing them. So they've got in their minds, Dad said can't talk. Now Dad's asking him a question. I mean, right? I mean, wouldn't you say that's a likelihood?
A mixed message?
Yes.
Yeah. It could be. Right? It could be. But I mean, if you looked at their faces, they were just like, I don't want to be here.
Well, you got to imagine. Barry, I'll say this. Imagine being 6 years old and you got who knows how many reporters, lights, because there's lights shining at you.
Right,
those things are live on TV with a camera firing a light, like that's an unusual setting for a 6 year old kid. So
yeah.
I wouldn't read too much into that.
But the other part that I wanted to hit on today was what most of the callers already talked about this morning, which was this offense is so anemic. I mean, it's just
that's brutal.
It's the same thing, and you just got done talking about something else. I wanted to bring up is. Can you know? I listened to Seth Joyner last night, and he's saying, you know, you have to challenge these defenses. You're just going to let these guys tee off on you if you don't let your quarterback go under center.
And well, Barry, let me say this: Seth is going to be with us coming up next. So let me get to him because he's going to join us coming up next. Barry, great call. Call when you can more often. Thanks, bud.
All right,
Seth. In just a moment, let's just play. I think the most awkward of the exchanges that involved the kids. I mean, they've been sitting there the whole time. This is near the end of the press conference, and here's Sirianni almost starting to begin the process of, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost like he's interviewing his own kids.
I really say the crowd was critical there, you know, because they had a false start, and then they had a false start again, so the crowd noise was critical right there of just the, it was loud, it was so loud there. Do you guys think it was loud?
No.
No? No? Did you think it was loud? Here, girl. Did you think it was loud? Did you think it was loud? Somebody answer. Just say yes. All right.
Look, let me say two facts that I really believe about Sirianni. Then I'm going to give you an opinion that's more not based on for sure. Number one, I think he's a really good person. Number two, I think he's a really good dad. But I also think he is really immature. I mean, really
immature.
They're
not mutually exclusive.
They're not. And he's putting the organization in a really bad spot because, you know, like he now gets Lurie and Howie in the crosshairs.
I
can guarantee you they don't want to be in the crosshairs.
Them.
He's representing them.
Like
it's embarrassing for them. It's embarrassing.
As a parent.
It's embarrassing for every player.
I was so embarrassed to see him drag those. One of those kids is like, what, two or three?
I don't know, but they're young.
I mean,
they're young.
It's such a bad look.
And it's not like, Like when AI had his, I remember he had Deuce on his lap when the Sixers had just won game one in the finals versus LA in 01 and AI scored 48. Like,
that's a super celebratory moment.
Totally.
Yeah, very different.
Totally. Coach, you didn't just beat Shaq and Kobe in game one of the NBA finals.
And then on top of that, I mean, as far as it goes, like I do think there's a different standard for a player and a coach
100%
on top of that.
James,
I agree with that too. I agree with that 1,000,000%. So it's time for Lurie and Howie to get a grip on their organization, to be blunt. Seth Joyner. Well,
that's the thing. Like, what are they supposed to do?
They're supposed to tell him one word. Enough.
I can't. This is so problematic at this point with the next four games. Again, these are a nice schedule. The way that the schedule sets up.
Oh, it gives him a shot. Like,
how in the world, if the organization wanted to jettison Nick Sirianni, it's almost like they've insulated him to the point where there's not going to be an opportunity.
They're not going to.
This season.
They're not going to fire him in the season.
To get in there and get him out.
No,
and
no.
It's because they have done too good a job to their own demise. Like, it's now working against them how well they've insulated him against everything.
It's crazy.
He doesn't have that much that he's doing. There's not much that he can do wrong, right?
Well, he's
am I completely off base?
Well,
with that?
Yeah, because he's calling plays when he wants to. He's making bad decisions like kicking 57-yard field goals, and he's setting a culture. So he still has a huge hand in this.
Okay, well, let's hope they view it that way too.
All right. Well, look, Seth Joyner, who once famously, while he played for the Eagles, referred to his head coach as a puppet. That was Rich Coatside.
Who was that?
That was Rich Coatside. Richie the K. What Seth thinks of Nick Sirianni this morning, we'll find out next.